You're listening to The Point. Plastic is everywhere. Try to think of an item you use regularly that doesn't contain some bit of plastic. The appeal of plastic is that it's durable and relatively cheap. As a result, single-use items are increasingly made up of plastic. Think shopping bags, water bottles, drinking straws. A downside to plastic is that we end up with an abundance of used plastic items that either can't be or are not recycled. A great deal of that used plastic ends up as pollution. Joining us are two Cape Cod teens committed to reducing the use of one kind of single-use plastic item, the drinking straw. Ursula Junker and Sadie Levesque join us. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So why focus on straws?
Well, straws are, first off, they're made of plastic, and second, they are really unnecessary. You don't need a straw, unless you have certain medical conditions, in which case you can have a metal straw or a glass straw. But most plastic straws are 99% of the time, they're unnecessary, and they're also in the periphery of people's minds when they're using them. They're just at a restaurant or even at home, they have a drink with a straw in it, and then they take the straw out when they're done, and they throw it in the trash. And so they could just drink out of the cup or the bottle, and so that's why we're working just to get rid of that first.
Also, another thing about straws is that they often end up in the natural environment because they're so small and light that in a trash can or just like out of your drink, they can easily fall and they can get carried away in a gutter to a waterway, and they can end up in, like, if you go to a beach and you look for plastic, I guarantee you will see drinking straws because they're everywhere.
So how have you been spreading the word?
We've gone to talks where people have like a presentation, and we might also have a table at a conference, and we have been actually on the local TV station and other things.
Yeah. Well, with our team of, we have three or four, depending on what time of year, other girls who work with us about our age. We call ourselves Skip the Straw, and we've been talking to restaurants a lot recently about how to decrease the amount of straws they use and or use alternative straws that are either biodegradable or reusable. And we also bring posters to scientific or ocean conservation events to show people we're trying to, like, spread the message that way.
So, Ursula, when you're talking to the restaurants, what's been the reaction when you go in and ask to speak to them about straws? What are they? Are they receptive?
Well, we have two main reactions. One is that they're interested and they want to learn more. So we usually give them our contact information, and we try and build, like, a partnership with them so that we'll keep up with them and talk to them about different ways that they can reduce their straw use without, any negative effects on their business. And the other one is sometimes restaurants get very defensive, and they're like, we are already doing a lot for the environment. I don't think you realize that we recycle all of our takeout containers. And we're like, that's great. We're not here to yell at you. We just want to talk to you about straws, you know?
So what's the alternative? What do you tell them they could do instead?
We say that they, if they aren't interested in getting rid of straws completely, they can provide straws upon request, or even better, use a reusable kind of straw, a glass straw, a metal straw, and that's just a much more environmentally conscious, like, solution. Actually, one of our friends who is in our group, Kalea Holdren, she was in Bali for a while, and they had bamboo straws at all the restaurants, and then they left them in the at the table with their cups, and then they wash them and use them again for the next customers.
I could see sort of how glass and metal might be tough for a restaurant to do, but there are other things,
right? People use metal forks and knives and spoons. Metal straws can be put in the dishwasher right alongside of them, and they become just as sanitary as any other eating implements.
Good point.
And also, at the very least, we encourage restaurants to ask if someone wants a straw instead of giving them a straw in every drink, because many people discard the straw from their drink or barely use it at all. It's just like a sort of a formality to put a straw in a drink, especially with, like, the little bit of paper on top, you know? And we encourage them to either ask if the person would like a straw or place one of our little, we make like little table tents, you know, they're folded and they have some basic information about straws. And that encourages people to consider saying, may I have my drink without a straw, please?
Now, you, how long ago did you start this campaign, Skip the Straw? It's been going on for a little while, right?
It has been going on for quite some time.
Several years.
Yeah. So what do you think your biggest accomplishment so far is?
That's tough, but we've done a lot. We have partnered with SEA in a group called Trash Shouldn't Splash, and it's just like doing the same thing and reaching out even more, connecting with different organizations.
Yeah, and more Trash Shouldn't Splash is more about all kinds of non-biodegradable single-use plastics that end up in the ocean.
We have also managed to convince one restaurant to go plastic free, actually. And that was really cool.
And we still have like a partnership with them.
Yeah. Do you want to say who they are?
The British Beer Company. They were really enthusiastic and they gave us pizza and everything.
We also recently Quick's Hole, actually, in Woods Hole, mentioned us on Facebook, not directly, but they said that a group of fifth grade girls, because we went into the restaurant when we were in fifth grade, came into our restaurant and they asked us not to use straws, and we listened, and that was really cool.
So how would you respond to someone who thinks their one straw is not going to make a difference, so why bother?
Well, I would probably tell them that the earth uses enough straws every day to wrap around the earth. Like, if you made them into one long straw.
And that's every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, their one straw could very well make a difference because they, animals consume them and they might, you know, their one straw could make a difference. Mm-hmm. There are larger chances that it won't individually do something bad, but just more like, if people are like, oh, well, if I don't do this one thing, then it won't matter. Like, if I don't use this one straw or if I don't go to this event that I should go to, other people are going to go. But then if everybody did that, then
nothing would get done, right?
So yeah, it's like,
It's
like if you play in an orchestra ever and you think, well, there are hundreds of people. It doesn't matter if I learn my part really well. But if everyone thinks that, then it won't sound very good. It's the same with voting. If everyone figured that their vote didn't really matter, then the voting really wouldn't reflect opinions at all.
Yeah, good examples. So what have you learned about the impact of straws or single-use plastic items that you think would surprise people?
Well, 90% of seabirds have plastic in their stomach, whether it's microplastic or large pieces of plastic that you can see, like rubber bands, like pieces of cups and containers. They will consume it thinking that it's food. Fish could also consume it, and then the bird will consume that fish. And also, they're just microplastics in the water that you can't see, but they get into birds, and they're
and sea turtles and all
sea
kinds
turtles
of things,
and all kinds of animals and make them sick. I mean, they're made of petroleum pumped from the ground, and it's just not good to have that inside you.
Yeah, and also, not only that, we get it inside us. If we eat a fish that's eaten these microplastics, which it would be impossible to tell. They're mostly the time very, very tiny. People picture, like, whole straws or balloons drifting around the ocean, but they're usually so small that you can barely see them at all. Another interesting thing about plastics in the environment is that when we learned about this is that when plastics are in the ocean, they grow bacteria on them that can be extremely harmful, and they grow very fast, and they can cause a lot of ocean life to die.
Yeah, they're like a type of bacteria that grows mainly, if not only, I think mainly though, on these microplastics, and it's really harmful if animals consume it. It makes that plastic even more harmful to consume.
So are you encouraging other students in the region to get involved as well? I remember a few years ago we did a story about a student in Truro who got his school to stop using straws. So I'm wondering, there might be more kids around doing this than you think, but are you trying to get other kids across the region to do the same thing?
We talk to people, actually, we have talked to schools and a Girl Scout troop. And so we are trying to have other kids feel empowered environmentally and feel like they can do something.
We started with 6 girls, but now we've reached out to a lot of, especially people that come to Woods Hole in the summer. we talk to them and they bring the campaign back to their hometown or wherever they live.
Or country even. Yeah. Lots of people come to us all in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what advice for other students who want to start a Skip a Straw campaign or other educational campaign on what works and what doesn't? What advice would you give them?
Well, if you're talking to someone about what's happening, try not to be like, you're doing this wrong. Try to say, well, you can do this and it'll make things better, rather than saying, well, don't do this, even though it's what you've been doing for ages. Mm-hmm. Just remember that people are like sensitive and they can get defensive and indignant. And if you make them feel upset, they're probably going to be like, oh, that stupid kid who told me not to do this because I was doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And they're not going to even, like, if they do remember you, they'll be like, remember you in a bad light.
Yeah.
Be positive, and don't be too depressing when you're citing a million facts about how you can never destroy a straw, and even if you burn it, it'll just go into the air. Like, don't overwhelm them with sad things. Like, focus on that they can make a difference. And another tip is posters work well. If you make cool posters and you take them to events, people will stop and ask you what you're doing. It actually works, especially if they're colorful.
Your aesthetic, like, really matters for visual things. Like, people are drawn to something that they think looks appealing. So if you just, like, type something and, like, put it on just, like, a yellow background or whatever, use the font that the computer automatically goes to, people will just, they'll probably look by you, like, oh, that's not that interesting. But if you actually, like, have, like, a logo and stuff like that, they'll be like, oh, that's really interesting. They put time into designing this.
It draws them in.
Yeah.
So has what you've learned about plastic straws started you thinking about other items that you and your family use differently? Have you started to think about that?
For sure. A big one is plastic water bottles, because people use them a lot when you, like, are out and about and you just need some water. People often buy a plastic water bottle, and they're really bad for the environment. They almost never get recycled properly, and the process of getting the ingredients for plastic water bottles is terrible for, like, even the worldwide ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much better to just, like, give it one more little thought and bring a reusable water bottle and fill it up at a water fountain.
Yeah, another thing that I've also been trying to be more conscious about is plastic wrap. Now that I've started, like, learning about the things that plastics do. And so they're, like, you can use tinfoil, but even better, there are these things that you can buy that are fabric that have beeswax on them, and you can also make them. And so you can wrap your sandwich in that, and it's a lot more environmentally good.
Yeah. So what do you think is the best approach to making changes, like using fewer straws? Do you think we should pass laws that ban the use, educate people and hope that they change their behavior, make it more difficult or expensive for these items if we don't want to use them? What do you think is the best approach?
You can go.
I think at our age, the best thing we can do is tell people about this and tell as many people as possible. Because I actually, like, believe that people are not bad, and that if they, like, learn about this enough, they will change their behavior and things can change. And that maybe when we're grown up, we can do something more in the, like, legal and concrete realm about it. But I think the first step would definitely be getting the word out, because most of the time people don't maliciously throw their straw in the trash thinking, haha, I'm killing a turtle. Mm-hmm. They just don't think about it. It's just not even in their brain. They're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
They're just using a straw and throwing it away. It's part of their daily routine.
But also, I mean, we could change the law. We could, like, talk to people who are in political power. And just since we're younger, they might not, like, pay as much attention to us. But if, I mean, you have to be professional and be able to answer their questions well, be able to speak eloquently. And they'll take you seriously. And, I mean, with a lot of the stuff that's going on in politics, kids are actually leading the way. And so I think that there's a chance that we can get some laws to be changed.
Let me follow up on that. Are you feeling more empowered now as a kid than you have before?
I am, actually. I feel like just with the kids and teens that are leading a lot of the anti-gun violence sort of campaign, they're just doing so much, and I think that's really amazing.
A lot of kids have led the way in all sorts of areas. Also, another big one is environmental change, sort of like us, especially in, like, global warming awareness. a lot of kids are speaking up and saying, hey, it's this world that you're leaving us with. I mean, who better than to speak up about our future than, you know, our children?
Yeah.
And I feel like seeing that we got to have our picture in the paper, got to have, we got to be on television and speak at a town meeting, I mean, it made me feel like I think that we can make a change no matter what it is we're talking about, even if we're young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kara Lavender Law, a research professor at Sea Education Association, will be giving a talk tonight at 7:30 titled Ocean Plastics Pollution from Sources to Solutions at Falmouth Public Library. We'll have details at our website, capeandislands.org. Sadie Levesque and Ursula Junker, thanks so much for coming in and for your campaign. We appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.